Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Alan Friedman's here, too. He's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and the author of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, which by the way, is in book form, but mostly these days, it's in the form of a CD that you can subscribe to and in the form of an online service that you can subscribe to as well. And that you can also find on my website. We're so proud of what he does that we offer it on our homepage, and hope you'll check that out. And we'll tell you a little bit more about what that all that means in a little bit. Let's get him in here because he's a really smart guy. Alan Friedman, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. Happy Hanukkah.
Same to you.
Okay. Last time you were here, we were talking about basically the different types of operating systems, the proprietary system, which is basically Microsoft, and what's called the open system, which is typically Linux-based, right?
That is correct.
And you've been helping us understand what all this means to us, maybe not today, although some of this is our decisions that we're making today, but especially in the future, because I shouldn't say tension, although there is some tension between those two, but they're just two worlds, aren't they? They're two parallel universes almost, aren't they?
Well, there were two parallel universes on the desktop known as Windows and Macintosh, but Linux is starting to increase, and it offers something very unusual. It is free.
Right. And by the way, though, I think it's important to point out that Windows has like 96% of the share of desktops, and Macintosh has about 4%.
That is correct.
Linux is tiny right now.
It's the tiny on the desktop, not in the server market. Linux
right.
is huge in the server market, but
right.
it's tiny in the desktop market, but it is slowly but surely changing.
Right. And so you're saying that Linux is not eroding so much the Mac portion as it is the Windows portion, right?
Correct.
Now,
correct.
Why is that happening?
Well, because Macintosh enthusiasts are just that. They love the Mac. They've had Macs from day one, and they will continue to
right.
purchase Macs. But
right.
the enticing thing to a large corporation about Linux is that the hardware is a PC. You can buy it from any vendor you want. It's the operating system that runs on the x86 hardware, which is the Intel or the AMD chips, what everybody
right.
has on their desk,
right.
what everybody's running Windows with. You can take and run Linux on.
So the hardware, and see, I think this is an important point to make, folks, in case you hadn't thought about it. If you're sort of somewhat of a Luddite, but you do use computers, the hardware doesn't care, does it, Alan?
That's right. You can change. You can use all the existing PCs. For example, a company with 25,000 PCs could literally, and by the way, they are starting to do this in small cases, slowly but surely. They're actually removing Windows and putting Linux on. Here and there around the world, it's starting to happen, mostly in the larger companies where when you have tons of PCs and you're thinking of upgrading to a new operating system or a new version of your Office applications, you're talking about a large bill.
Large licensing bill.
Very large licensing bill.
If you grow your business, and as you add new desktops and new workstations, you got to add new software, which includes either buying a whole new suite or buying a license for additional people.
That's right. That is correct.
And that costs. It's not so much for me. If I add another desktop in my office, I add a new Microsoft Windows Office Suite, it's another, $300, $400 or whatever. But if you multiply that, as you say earlier, some of the larger companies, that's a big budget consideration, isn't it?
It depends what you call a large company, too. If you have 50 workers and you're talking about upgrading, that's a nice bill, too. Also, don't forget the Office applications for Linux are also free. Now, not everything is free on Linux, but almost everything. In fact, when you install a Linux package with the operating system, some of them come along with 1,000 programs free of charge. It's unbelievable.
Now we're going to take a quick break in a second, Alan. When we come back, there's more to this than cost. There's another reason that would be driving a conversion from say the proprietary Microsoft Windows operating system over to the Linux system. And we're going to get Alan to tell us what that is right after these messages. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you go back and if you find Alan Friedman in our Brain Trust, or go to technology section of our libraries that we have there, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, and you go back and listen to all the different things that Alan has deposited with us, the wisdom he's laid on us over the years, I think you'll learn an awful lot. And I encourage you to go back and check some of those out. Alan Friedman is our guest, and he's the founder of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. He's also the author of that. Alan, give us your website, please.
It's computerlanguage.com, Jim.
And that's his company. It's don't you have an anniversary?
Well, 2006 will be our 28th year in business.
Okay, I was thinking it was like 25th or something like that. So almost 28 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we're talking about the where we will get our processing power in the future. Will it be from the Windows system? Will it be from the which you pay money for? Or will it be more from a Linux-type system, which is free? And there's a financial angle, which, as you said, which we've been talking about, but there's another angle, Alan, and I want you to talk about from the standpoint of the usability, the reliability, the stability of the platforms. Which do you think people will migrate from Windows to the open source systems for those types of reasons?
Well, there's a tremendous problem right now with surfing the web with Internet Explorer, because every hacker out there has targeted Microsoft to do something. But you can actually change that right now under Windows. You don't have to use Internet Explorer. You can use Firefox,
right,
which is the open source browser right now, and it is it's being attacked quite a bit less, but Linux in general, because it's open source, is just not the target. I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands. A friend of mine the other day said to me there were some 100,000 viruses in the Windows platform, and he was not even aware of a handful on Linux. So that is the issue. But, of course, you know, if Linux were to take over on the desktop and you had millions of Linux users, then you're going to have somebody say, "Well, let me see if let me show how smart I am." And
there are terrorists. There are all kinds of different there are lots of different kinds of terrorists out there, aren't there?
Oh yeah, but the hacking issue is a big issue.
Yeah. What about use? What about ease of use and stability?
It's similar. You know, the bar is not that high. Let me just say clearly, I don't think, because I use software all the time and I find a lot of it just as difficult as anybody else. The bar isn't high. It doesn't take much. There's a lot of Linux stuff looks just like Windows. Some of it's easier. Some of it's higher. There is a retraining. It's not as simple as just throwing Linux in your computer and taking off. You may not have applications that run on Linux that you've been using under Windows for a long time.
Can you have both systems parallel? Can both systems run in concert?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's a little more complicated. It's called virtualization, but you actually can. you can run multiple operating systems simultaneously. It's not something I'd recommend for the average user.
Well, we had Macs for a long time here.
Huh?
And the reason was is because I've been on computers since 1980.
Uh-huh.
And the early sophisticated programs, as most people know, were Macintosh programs.
Uh-huh.
And in the 80s, most developers were developing for Macintosh. And then when Windows emerged and started doing better, things went in the other direction. So over the last few years, we have actually migrated from Mac, and we're now 100% Windows, 100% PC based. But my point is, for a while, we literally had computers with both of them up on the screen. We had a switcher. We could go back and forth from one to the other. We did that to migrate from Macs to PCs, which were 100% dedicated to PCs now.
It can be done. Actually, if you look at a Linux desktop, if you looked over the shoulder of a user running Linux, you think it might be Windows. The desktop environments look almost exactly the same. They're all graphical-based, and they all have the taskbars and the icons and the desktop shortcuts. They really look very similar.
What about the programs? For example, when we made the conversion from Mac to PCs, we have, we still have files in the Macs that we have to go get and bring over and convert. How about that going from Windows-based, let's say the Microsoft Office Suite over to the free Office Suite for Linux?
Well, the free Office Suites in general can handle the data form, the popular data formats that are out there.
It transfers over and no problem?
It's not even a transfer. It's just an automatic.
Just opens
file.
It up? Yeah. And no formatting problems or anything like that?
Oh, I wouldn't say there won't be. There are always issues. It's not 100%. It's getting better and better all the time. Microsoft, of course, might want to put a creative format in their latest version of Office that'll put a glitch into things.
It's
understandable,
What's going to be the tipping point, though, Alan? What's going to be the? I was around when the tipping point went from Macs to PCs. I'm going to say that tipping point happened about 1988 or 9. Now, I may be wrong about that. I'll let you see if you think I'm right or not. But what's going to be the tipping point, if there is one, from Windows over to Linux?
Well, I think the major tipping point will be when a lot of your software is coming off a web page. In other words, where your applications are really on the Internet,
yeah.
And when you download a page, the script in that page.
So the more power, the more ASPs, application service providers, the more we get our power from ASPs, our processing and software from ASPs, the more likely we are to not matter whether we have Windows or
Linux. So the operating system becomes irrelevant at that point.
Stand by. Quick break. After these messages, we got more to come. Alan Friedman, I told you he's a smart guy. Stay with us.
I spend a lot of money and I spend a lot of time.
It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Alan Friedman is our guest, and his website is computerlanguage.com, right, Alan?
Correct.
Computerlanguage.com. Hope you check it out. Now, I have in front of me, let's see, I've got version, where is it? Let me get it out here. I got version 18.4.
That's the latest one.
That's the new one. All right, thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate it. And how many different definitions, technology definitions, do you have up in your encyclopedia?
We're getting close to 20,000 now.
20,000 and what, 2,500 graphics?
Yes.
It's very powerful, folks. There's nothing else like it in the world, probably in the universe. And I encourage you to check it out when you get a chance. Alan, the first person I ever heard say that the day will come when you won't think about what you have in your computer as far as processing power and I'm probably paraphrasing it not as accurately as I should be, but it was about 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, and this person said, you won't think about what's in your box as much as you'll think about what's online, what's capable of coming to you in terms of processing power, resources, applications, storage, you know, managing your information, et cetera, et cetera. He said that will be more likely to be online rather than in your box. And the first person to ever hear say that, and I'm not saying he was the first person to say it, but the first person I ever heard was Bill Gates.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, if you look at what's stored in a server versus what's stored in a client, in a company, in any size company, and the servers, the network, of course, the internet at this point too, as well, is really the major storehouse of applications and data, not the client machine.
Was he forecasting Google?
I just think he was looking at networks in general, because networks were taking were completely taking off, and everybody was networking 10 years ago.
But isn't that doesn't Google have aren't they more likely to be the player to do what he predicted than anybody else out there now?
Well, they certainly could be, but it's all the applications have to become web-based. It's a big job. It's not that lots of people aren't working on it.
Well, it's not just a technical job. It's a cultural job too, isn't it?
Well, yes. You also have to relinquish control to somewhere out there in the ether.
I don't like the idea of somebody else storing my files. I have to be honest with you.
Well,
I could have chosen a web-based backup system for our files. There are plenty of great ones out there, but I don't want that. I want those things backed up in my building.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm funny that way.
Off-site would be a lot better.
Well, we get it off-site too, but I mean, what I'm saying is the process of backing it up happens in the building, and then we take it off the property.
Mm-hmm.
But I want that kind of control. I'm not ready to be. The culture here in this operation is not ready to do that, but it may change one day, because, you know, 15 years ago I thought I'd have Macs forever.
Well, I agree with you, Jim. I keep a copy of your data yourself, where you could get access to it, and then I'd also have it somewhere else, where,
right,
say something happened to your facility. That's a good choice in my
right opinion. So what does all this mean for small business owners as we're trying to make technology decisions, Alan? What does all this mean for our small business audience?
Well, you know, I would say give it a try. If you've got a small business with even 20, 30 users, let's get fairly small.
Five or six users?
Well, it depends. If you've got a serious a technology geek in there, that's a different story, but that may be too small.
What if you did this? What if you said, okay, I'm going to buy a box. I'm going to put a set of box up over here in the corner. Maybe it's not even going to be my main use, a box that's used by everybody. And as you say, I've got a geek that works for me, or I'm going to hire a geek to come in and set that box up and show us, let us run it in parallel with what the other things we're doing, and let us learn that way about the open source systems.
Well, you know, you could, if you were just doing if you had an internet machine, one machine where you were surfing the web and everybody
right
was using that, you could
right
you could install Linux and run Firefox, because you might be running Firefox under Windows. You wouldn't notice any difference whatsoever.
Alan, we got to wrap it up. But you're going to come back. We're going to continue this series, aren't we?
I think we should.
You're going to come back and talk about this some more, folks. What we're trying to do now, we're not trying to change your mind. We're just trying to introduce you to some things that I think, if you hear us talking about it, as you read more about it, you become better educated, better informed on, and make better informed decisions. We hope that's what happens. Alan Friedman, thanks for helping us. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure, always, Jim.
Happy Hanukkah, and see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.